name is wonderful. We do praise you and honor and glorify your name. Now, Lord, be with us today, Lord, as we come to worship you and praise you. Lord, I ask you to be with us today as our pastor preaches, that your Holy Spirit would just fill all of us up, and as he preaches, it be your word. I pray today for the lost, that you'd be with them as they make a decision for Christ. Now, Lord, when it's all said and done, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will continue on with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing number 146, Oh How He Loves You and Me, 146.
Church family, it is good to be here this morning on a cold, rainy morning. We are inside, and so that is a blessing. Got a few announcements for you this morning. First of all, Wednesday, March 22nd, that is this Wednesday, we have a special called business meeting. That's this Wednesday? A week from Wednesday. I jumped a whole week ahead, not just an hour ahead. So March 22nd, we will be having a special called business meeting. VBS is coming up quickly. It is rapidly coming to summer, and then it's going to slow down for the teachers to enjoy a break. But VBS is coming up soon, and so on Saturday, March 18th at 9 a.m., we will be having a meeting. And so we would like for you, if you have an interest in helping with VBS, please come to that breakfast, and you'll learn all the things that you we'll be able to do in ways that you can serve. Also, Fuge is coming up June 5th through 10th. We'll be going to Ridgecrest, North Carolina. If you have a young person who is interested, I've given out flyers. I don't have any with me right now, but they're in the youth room, I believe. If you're interested or know of a youth that is interested, come see me, and I will give you a flyer with all the information on it. March 24th, we have Parents Night Out for children up to fifth grade. March 29th, we are having a church-wide potluck where you need to bring two sides to help serve big enough for your entire family or a family of six, my entire family. Then the week of prayer is coming up, and I want you to be praying about the week of prayer. It is March 27th through April 2nd, and we're going to be collecting for Annie Armstrong's mission, and our goal is $17,000, so be in prayer for that as well. March 26th, we've got a lot of activities coming up. March 26th, we're going to be dedicating the new building. We're going to have barbecue. We're going to have all kinds of things. If you will bring, I think it's potato salad, slaw, or beans, and a dessert, that would be wonderful. I'm praying that we will pack the place and have a whole bunch of people here, and so no Sunday school. Starts at 10:30. Glad I'm doing these announcements. Did everybody understand that? There will be no Sunday school on March 26th. We will start activities at 10:30, and it will be a time of worship, I promise you, and thanksgiving and praise for all that God has done for us. And also coming up on April 8th is our Easter egg hunt. That will be coming up quickly as well. April 8th, the flyer is inside your bulletin. If you want flyers to hand out to people, I'm sure we can come up with a stack of flyers that you can hand out to friends and families and neighbors. Let's pack the place for that as well. The youth are coming off a trip where we went to Murfreesboro for the YEC, which is the Youth Evangelism Conference. And just to kind of fill in, I've asked Hadley to come up and just share about 30 seconds of things that we did while we were there.
This weekend we went to YEC, and there was really good music, in my opinion. And one of the things that I thought was very interesting that the speaker said was there were four ways to get closer to God and with your relationship with God. And it was pray, read your Bible, hang out with Christians, and share the gospel.
Very good. And if you're interested in any of that music, the concert that we had was Tadashi, who is a Christian rapper, and I understood nothing of his lyrics, but it was good music. I think that happens when you turn about 35 to 40, and I've hit that a few years ago. So it is great to be here this morning to see your all's face, and we want to welcome each other, and we're going to do that. We're going to stand up. We're going to shake hands, high five, hug necks.
Wave from a distance as we sing.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined us with Jesus as we travel this hunt. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined us with Jesus as we travel this hunt. For I'm part of the family of God.
All righty, we are going to pray in just a second, but hasn't God been good this week? Yeah. If you have electricity, yeehaw! If you didn't have it, it just made you appreciate having it, didn't it? Hot water, yeehaw! By the way, if we ever go through this again where we don't have electricity for some time, we have showers here now. You're more than welcome to come down here and take a shower, and if you don't have heat, and we do, you're welcome to put a cot out there and sleep there. If you do sleep there, bring some food. So some chocolate food. Yeah, a lot of it. You never know, the stores may close and we'll have a shortage of chocolate, so just bring it all and we'll just enjoy it. We're going to pray. There'll be some that are facing surgery this week and some getting over it from last week. And it's a cycle. We keep on going over and over that, so be praying for each other. Let's pray together. Father Almighty, we sure love you. You're our God and our Lord, and Father, we depend on you. We trust you. Lord, the Bible tells us that you're our shepherd. And a shepherd gives his life for his sheep. And we know, God, that you did give your life for us. And we're very grateful, Lord, that you died on that cross for our sins. And as Easter comes about, Father, we'll be celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord just in a great way. And I pray even before that Easter time, Lord, that we, in our hearts, we begin to appreciate what you did on that cross and how you loved us, Father. The Bible says even before we got saved, you loved us in our sins. And so today, Father, I pray if anybody's in here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that never invited Jesus into their life, I pray, God, today would be the day. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you pour out on us. You blessed our church in such a great way. And each of us, Father, if we're here today, we're very blessed. There are many that cannot come health-wise, and so we pray for them. But we thank you, God, that we're healthy enough to be here. As we think about the 26th and dedicating a new building to you, Lord, I pray that you would excite us about what you've done for us and what's in the future. And Father, that you'll use us and use the tool that you've given in the way of a building to reach souls for Christ, to reach in our own home folk, and that we'd enjoy fellowship with each other and the ability, Lord, to walk in the mornings in the gym, and to play in the afternoons, and to invite others. Father, I just thank you, God, for what you're going to do. I ask that you'd be with those, Father, that have health issues, and some have just personal issues they're dealing with. And God, we lift them up to you, asking, God, that you touch them in just a great and mighty way. And today, as we read the Bible and as we pray and as we sing songs, I pray, God, that we feel the very presence of God right in this building with us today. We do love you and praise you, God, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, children, come on. Who won the race?
What?
Did somebody win a race? Sounded like it. All right, have a seat. I'm going to read you guys a story out of the Bible. And it's kind of, I want you to think about it. It's kind of hard to believe that God would do something like this. And he just may do it one day for us. Maybe not this story, but something just as important to us as this story is. So listen to this. The Bible tells us that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know who Pharaoh was of Egypt? Remember, the Jewish people were slaves back in the old days. And God hardened his heart so that he could take the children away from Pharaoh and take them into the promised land some years later. So that's what the story is going to be about. And the Bible says they left Egypt, they got to the Red Sea. You know what the Red Sea is? It's a big body of water, like the ocean. And they couldn't cross it. So they kind of went to Moses and they complained, "Why did you bring us here? We'd be better off in Egypt." And Moses said to the people, "This is what we need to hear. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Do you ever get in trouble where you just can't fix it? Somebody mean to you, or maybe you take a test, you're not ready for the test, but just need help. Well, Moses is telling people, just be still and listen and watch God. And he's telling us that too. We may not be in the Red Sea, but we could be in a grip, I call it a pickle. We can't handle it once out of four. So then Moses said, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So here's the deal. Here comes the Egyptian army that camped outside of the Israelites. And God provided a great cloud of darkness to the one, to the Israelite, I mean to the Egyptians, and gave a great light by night to the Israelites, to God's people. Then Moses, now look, watch this. Moses stretched out his hands right before the sea, right before the ocean today, and parted the Red Sea. You know what he did? He parted that big body of water and dried the bottom up so that the people could cross over. You haven't heard this story before? I know you have. Yes. All the Israelites got to the other side, and then God let the waters go back, and the Egyptian army was in the waters, and they drowned. Why would I tell you guys this? Here's the deal. God is so powerful. God can do anything he wills to do, and he loves us enough to do it for us. This is an adult story, but I'm telling you guys this because you're going to grow up and you're going to experience God in just a great way. He may not part that Red Sea for you guys, but he may do something just as spectacular. Oh boy, what have you got on your nose? Okay, I got something that, no.
Is it M&M?
No. It's something that I think Kroger's had them after Valentine. No. Candy.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 571, Let Others See Jesus in You, 571.
Telling the story, be faithful and true.
And if you would please stand as we continue on with number 22, Bless His Holy Name, 2-2.
You guys don't know how hard it is to get up here after something like that. He's so good. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. First Peter chapter 3, starting verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and let his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The title of this message is Ways to Give and Receive Blessings. If you study the first book of Peter, even the second book, it challenges us. It constantly challenges us to live godly lives, even in the middle of trials and tribulations and even persecution. Peter's always given us a challenge to do something. And one of the greatest challenges he gives us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. So if you would run there, we're not going to look at all these challenges, but this one is the biggie. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now that's holy because Jesus is holy. What a challenge that becomes. We are to be holy as Jesus is holy. Then he challenges us to live this holy life not only in front of each other, but guess who else is watching us? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus and God. They're watching constantly. He also challenges us about our character in the second chapter, verse 1. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. What a challenge that is. And he continues in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from what fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. In chapter 3, he challenges women how to live with their unsaved husbands. He also challenges men of how to live with their unsaved wives, and he gives us challenges to do that, and you can read that yourself. But in our verses today, he gives us instructions about how to give and how to receive blessings. Pastor Jeff Crook, before his church, and he gave this thought. We probably all said or heard the phrase, have a blessed day. It is an appropriate thing to say, especially for believers. In our verses today, we learn that you are called to do this. Christians are called to bless others. We've been blessed to bless others, he said. The greatest blessing, of course, is eternal salvation. Product of salvation is a changed life. The redeemed in Christ do not curse, we bless. How do we bless others? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the instruction that Peter gives us of how to bless others so that we can be blessed as well. So we're going to start in verse 8. So let's read it again, and there's several things I want to share with you about this verse. In fact, there's quite a few things in this verse. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, and be courteous. Starts out, the Bible says, be of one mind. Be of one mind. He's addressing Christians in their relationship with other Christians. He's not necessarily sharing this with lost souls. He's sharing it with us, that we treat each other the way verse 8 describes. He knows that if we follow verse 8, then that's going to overflow to non-believers. They're going to see who we are and what we're about. There's a warning, though. How many times, this is for Jerry now, how many times have we asked somebody to church and they say, I'm not going to go to your church. I've seen too many hypocrites there. Well, why do they see hypocrites there? Do we not give that persona that we're hypocrites sometimes? So be careful. We're to live as verse 8 says. First of all, be of one mind. That's the mind of Christ. And if we're a mind of Christ, then we're not going to be hypocritical. We're going to follow God's word and we'll solve that problem. There'll be no hypocrites at all. Translation also, some of them say, be harmonious with each other. We're to live in harmony with each other. Now let that sink in for a second. We are to live in harmony with each other. We are to be united in the same purpose, the same Christian goals with each other. We all should strive to be people of great faith. 1:16, be holy because I am holy. We practice the same things together. That's godly principles together. The question becomes, how can we be unified together? I'm going to use that word several times, together. It can happen to the extent that we all submit to the Lord's will together. There's no veering off of God's will for some. If we're going to be of one mind, we're going to be on the same page in God's word. Does that make sense? Over and over, Paul teaches the church to be unified, to be one-minded. If we practice one-mindedness, we'll not have to worry about people thinking there's hypocrites in our church. Mark that down. Put it in your minds. Put it in your hearts. Be one mind. And Peter says, have compassion for one another. A compassionate person is just kind to each other, to all of us. A compassionate person cares about what others are experiencing in their lives at any given moment. So verse 8 tells us, be of one mind and be compassionate with each other. We're to make sure that we love each other in such a way that we suffer with them as they go through sufferings. We seek them out to go through it with them. We try to be their friends, the best friends. We try to be their rock. We take care of each other with compassion. We grieve over us. This past week, there were three or four of you that gave me prayer concerns, private prayer concerns. They were ones that were grieving to me. They broke my heart. And when you ask me to pray for something like that, I pray constantly. Just walking down the hallway, I'll say, Lord, I may not pray a big old long prayer, but I lift your name up to the Lord, and he knows why. And we all go through things that need to be grieved over, things outside of our power. Only God can take care of that. This morning, one of you shared with me about your husband, and it breaks your heart because it's believer to believer. It's brother to brother, brother to sister. It's this family that we call Hillcrest. We're to be compassionate and grieve with others and to help them through those with compassion. The greatest example of being compassionate is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why would I say that's the greatest example? Because he loved us enough to grieve himself on that cross for our sins. He knew that there was no way for us to get to heaven unless he took our sins on his shoulders. And he did, didn't he? He sure did. One of the meanings of the word sympathy means, part of it is to suffer. To suffer with others in their time of trouble. How many Christians are willing to suffer for other Christians? according to verse 8, how many Christians are to suffer with other Christians? Look at the very first part of verse 8 and see how it starts out. Finally, comma, all of you. Who's included in the all of you? Every single one of us. We are in verse 8, all of us. And I want to drill that. I want us to hear what Peter's saying. If we belong to Hillcrest Baptist Church, which belongs to Jesus Christ, all of us are to be of one mind, and all of us are to be compassionate for each other. And there's a couple other things in verse 8 we're going to talk about. In fact, we'll go on to it. We're to love each other. We're to love each other as brothers and sisters. We're to care about each other and be compassionate. And the Bible says tender-hearted. Oh, man. Remember how verse 8 started out? All of us are to be tender-hearted. That's a tough one. We're not born in this world with a tender heart. We only get that heart from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lifelong deal, dealing with tender-heartedness. We're to love each other with a tender heart. And I'm talking about all of us, men, tender-hearted, women, tender-hearted, children, tender-hearted. John Calvin wrote, "Where God is known as Father, there and only there can brotherhood be. God is the chief of our church. He's the CEO of our church. He's the owner of our church. He's the one that established this church. And we do as he does, and he loved us. And we're to love the same way he loves. We're to be compassionate. We're to have a tender heart toward one another." Oh, man, here's my question. Why in the world does this have to be addressed in a Christian church? I've thought about that and reflected and looked inward, and man, this was a hard one. Why should I even have to get up here and tell us we ought to be compassionate with one another? We ought to love each other. We ought to be tender-hearted to each other. Well, you want me to give you an example of why? Good. I'm just going to share this with you. Y'all see that? Do you see it? It's a 2-pound bag of chocolate chips. Why would I have to address being tender-hearted and compassionate to each other with a 2-pound bag of chocolate chips? No, that's not why. No, it's not because we're individual and we all belong in this bag together. We're talking about one-minded, compassionate, love each other, tender-hearted to one another, courteous to each other, right? Verse 8. Two men, no longer here at our church, one morning having brotherhood breakfast here at church, they began to argue over chocolate chip pancakes. We're not having chocolate chip pancakes. Nobody likes them. Nobody likes plain pancakes. They just went on and on about this. So one of them took a 2-pound bag and goes, "We're not having chocolate chip pancakes. This is two of our leaders of our church." 2 pounds goes all over the kitchen. Where's the tenderheartedness and the courteousness and the love for each other and something like that? That happened at Hillcrest Baptist Church. Brotherhood breakfast about 5 years ago. What do you think your preacher felt like then? What do you think the others around? You could hear a pin drop. I was so hurt because two of our great leaders in this church decided that some liked chocolate chip pancakes and some didn't. And one of them took that bag of chocolate chips and ripped it down the middle, and the chocolate chips, I'm still cleaning up chocolate chips. Why do I have to address this subject? Because we're here. We need it. Your preacher loves you enough to share this with you. There's no place in a church for that kind of actions, that kind of attitude, that kind of lack of love for each other. My backside is shaking. I don't like to say things like this, but it needs to be said. To be one-minded, to be compassionate, to be in love with you, tender-hearted, we can't be like that. Absolutely can't be like that. Evidently, it was happening 2,000 years ago because Peter addressed the church too. And I'm addressing it today, and probably 2,000 years from now, if the Lord doesn't come back, somebody else will be addressing it. Hopefully, no, I'm not selfish. You can have some of these, Harold. I know it. Hopefully, we can love each other enough to have chocolate chip pancakes. Your preacher just hard enough, hard-headed enough to say, watch this the next time, and I fixed chocolate chip pancakes, and everybody loved them, by the way. Did we not have a week, a month ago? Yeah. But the attitude that we can't get along well enough to have half pancakes plain, half pancakes chocolate chip. This is a pretty silly illustration, except it's true. It happened. And it can never happen again. It will, but it shouldn't. Apply God's word to our lives. Can you think of anything else similar to that that's happened? And of course we can, can't we? Things like that happen. So let me read verse 8 again to you. Finally, all of you be one mind, having compassion for one another. Love us, brothers, be tender-hearted, and be courteous. Now keep on going to verse 9. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. We're not to return evil for evil, reviling for reviling. Reviling means criticize and abuse in an abusive way, or angry, or insulting way, or in other words, how can I say this nice? Keep our mouths, you fill in the blank. Think before you speak. When I read this, one verse came to mind. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation be acceptable to you, my Lord, my God, my Creator, my Savior. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to Jesus. This morning in my quiet time, I was reading a devotion, and I guess I needed it because God doesn't always do this, but he did this morning. He gave me a verse through devotion, Proverbs 12, 36 and 37. So let's look at that. I have not had time to study it. I just know what it said, and it fit in right here, so we're going to get it. Proverbs 12, verse 18. Therefore is one who speaks like the piercing of sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. So does your tongue pierce somebody's heart? Does your tongue break somebody's heart? Is whatever comes out of your mouth sometimes, is it not pleasing to somebody, not helpful to somebody? And the other verse that went along with this devotion was Matthew chapter 12. So as I looked this one up this morning, it's an eye-opener, that's for sure. It's God's word, so it's truth. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. But I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, that I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's a tough two verses. That's one that deserves to take home and just read it and meditate on it. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. Well, how often do we say something, and as soon as we say it, we want to grab it back? Or we have to go to somebody and apologize to them because we just didn't think about it. It just came out. That's what Peter's addressing today. Be of one mind, the mind of Christ. Be compassionate, be loving, be tenderhearted, live in harmony together. I read this. We've all met people who seem to enjoy correcting others. I don't think I've ever met a person like that. Have you ever been around somebody that you can't say anything right, and they just correct you, you can't do anything right? That's kind of the way I grew up. And telling them what is wrong with them, sometimes it's done in an arrogant attitude, the kind that says, I'm better than you, and I know what's wrong with you. Sometimes it's done with an attitude of false humility. I humbly hope I can help you become a better person. If you're like most of us, however, you probably don't care much to be around people like this. And rightly or wrongly, you probably don't listen to their advice. You sense their real motive is pride, and their main goal is to impress you with how wise and perfect they are. This is opposite of what the Bible teaches. Instead of impressing others with ourselves, we want them to be impressed with Christ. That's what we ought to be thinking. That's what ought to be coming out of our mouths. Learn to avoid hurtful and useless words and ask God to help you encourage and help someone for Christ's sake, not your own. And then verse 9 again, look at the last part. But on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. You've been blessed to bless others. The Bible says we've been called to bless others. But look at the very last three, four words in verse 9. If you are called to bless others, that you may inherit a blessing. How to give blessings, how to receive blessings. We give blessings through the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive blessings because we gave blessings through the Lord Jesus Christ to others that needed a blessing. And this is a promise to us. If we give blessings, then we will receive a blessing. I find it interesting that it's a blessing, not blessings. It kind of makes, I didn't study this, it just came in my mind. Over a lifetime, we are to bless others. And each time we bless others, then we receive a blessing for that blessing to others. Did that come out anywhere right? Near right. So the more we bless others, if I'm reading this right, the more blessings we're going to receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like the rewards in heaven. We're laying up rewards in heaven. Who doesn't want to be blessed by God? You've been blessed to bless others. When you bless others, you receive a blessing from God. Be of one mind, be compassionate, be loving, be tenderhearted to each other. Watch what we say. May the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart, be acceptable and pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then take all that and bless others. It's almost like you're just sowing seeds, we're sowing blessings, this world will be so different if we followed verse 8 and verse 9. Let's pray. Almighty Father, what seemed like an easy sermon was an awfully hard sermon. I pray, God, that we all heard it. And if we're not being tenderhearted, and if we're not being compassionate, and we're not loving like we ought to, and we're not one-minded, that is the mind of Jesus, then I pray, God, during this invitation that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, God, that you'd convict us of lacking something. And God, that we'd be repentant of it. And today, God, during this time, that we would just get right with you. And I pray, God, for those two souls that broke that bag of chocolate chips over chocolate pancakes. God, you must see so many things like this. Forgive us, Lord. I pray, please forgive us. God, there may be somebody in here that needs to invite you into their life. Would you make that known to them? Maybe somebody in here is dealing with something that just can't get right with you, and I pray, God, that you deal with them today. God, that we would not leave here without leaving different. I know, Father, that you're here. I pray, God, that every one of us will feel your presence this very moment. God, that you'd make a difference in our church. And I pray this in Jesus' name. We're going to have an invitation. To those of you that don't know what an invitation is, I invite you to come forward. I'll be standing right down here. And if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, come on down here and we'll talk about it. And I'll share some thoughts about it and I'll get others maybe to pray with me. If you have never, well, you heard the message in verse 8. If you're dealing with lack of compassion, lack of love, lack of tender heartedness, whether it be to each other or your spouse or your children, today would be the day to ask God to help. Help, Lord. So let's stand. You come forward, we'll pray. The altar will be open if you want to pray there.
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender.
Going to sing one more verse. It's just a good song to listen to, so let's hear I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give my myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.